Welcome to Nerd Off, a weekly trivia podcast brought to you by Highball Trivia. Two contestants will face off in 10 categories. Each player will wager 10 or 20 points for their opponent on every question. If a player gets the question right, they get the points. If they get it wrong, their opponent gets the points. At the end of regulation, players will each face two final questions, one in each player's specialty. To earn their wager, which can be any or all of the points they've earned so far, players have to get both questions correct. Now here's your host, Andrew Buxbaum.
All right. Today we have another fantastic show for you. If you're still sticking around, thank you very much. If not, why not? We have a great show. In one corner, you know, sporting his AARP card, Paul McLaughlin. No, he's not that old. In the other corner, married to Troy McClure. Oh, no, wait, sorry. Brian, not Troy McClure. We have Kelly McClure. Kelly, why don't you tell us a little about yourself?
Hi, everybody. I'm Kelly McClure. I live in Garner, North Carolina, which is just outside of Raleigh. I'm a product manager for a major medtech company. And in my spare time, I like to hang out with some trivia nerds and play D&D and read and listen to music and all the pretty normal introvert stuff. Avoid people.
You know, in this day and age, it's probably best to avoid people. Between plagues and politics, people aren't really the best. So you've kind of got it right. Yeah. And Paul, you don't do so good at avoiding people because you bartend.
Yeah. Well, some days, yeah, I do avoid people an awful lot while doing it, which not my choice, just an empty bar doesn't, that not what I always sign up for, but it happens. Spare time, I don't avoid people by going to punk rock shows and hanging out in the pit. Love doing that. Anyway, Paul McLaughlin from Brick Township, New Jersey, down the Jersey Shore area. Fun fact, I got a flat tire this morning, so that's what I have to look forward to after the podcast. Happened like about a half a mile from home, and I managed to just get it to the driveway.
So you've had an interesting last 12 hours trying to be on this podcast. Wow.
Yes, I have.
Oh man, I sorry about that. I'm not worth all the effort you've gone through. I will say that right now.
Life goes on.
I am.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing it for you, Andrew. It's for Kelly.
Now, Paul, when we get to the final question, if she's ahead of you and you want to try to bully her into wagering all her points, the trick is Brian hasn't been on the show yet. He's on an upcoming episode. So if you go, Kelly, if you want to set the bar really high for Brian to try to beat, just wager all your points.
Yeah, you don't want to lose out to him, right?
It's okay. He knows he's the real winner anyway.
He's got you.
No, you're hanging out with me and Paul. You're the real winner. All right, we're going to kick off round one in the category of sports. Paul, what do you think Kelly knows about sports?
Let's go 10 here.
Okay. And Kelly?
Yeah, 10.
Not the wagers I would have made, but I'm not playing, so hey. All right, Paul. LIV is a new league competing with the PGA, started by investors from what country? I'm betting their courses will have lots of sand traps.
They are in Saudi Arabia.
They are, in fact, in Saudi Arabia. I haven't delved too much into what's going on there, but just from a quick perusal, it looks like it could actually be a decent threat to the PGA. Just because of the money being thrown.
I was going to say, I don't know how sustainable it'll be with how much money they're throwing at it, but we'll see.
So I don't know if you know this about Saudi Arabia, but they have this substance in the ground that is basically a license to print money.
That's why gas is $5 a gallon. So they can start their own golf.
Basically. It's like, is golf really that cool? Who knew? All right, Kelly. The Olympics raised the figure skating minimum age to what? Sadly, Liesl from The Sound of Music would be ineligible.
17.
17 is correct. So smart wagering all around.
And now I'm going to have that in my head for the rest of the podcast.
I am 16
going on 17.
Sadly, when that's exactly what happened to me, which is how that made that into the question. I was literally just reading about the age requirement going up. And when I was reading 17, like that just popped into my freaking head. And I was like, okay, this is going in the question. Because if I have to be tormented by my own thoughts, so does everyone else. All right. So your second category is booze. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about booze? His retirement job as bartender.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. We're going to go 10. How about 0? Can I go 0?
Hey, just because he serves it doesn't mean he knows anything about it. Well, and Paul, what do you think Kelly knows about booze?
I am going to go 10 as well. And Andrew, you hit that right on the head. Just because I serve it doesn't mean I know anything about it. I like to drink it. I like to serve it, but I work at a shot in a beer dive bar. I do not make any mixed drinks there.
Well, A, those are the best kind of bars. And B,
sticky floors.
Yeah, you hope it's the alcohol, right? All right, Kelly, what is the term used for the volume of whiskey lost as it matures in the barrel?
The devil's cut.
It's actually the angel's share.
Damn.
Let me look up exactly what the devil's cut is, though, because I might be...
Yeah, I know they're both things, and they are two different
things. I don't know if they're synonymous, though. Let's see.
I think one is evaporative, and one is in the barrel.
One is soaked into it, right?
And I can never remember which one's which.
Okay, when devil's cut is the wood still trapped, the whiskey still trapped inside the wood. Okay. Whew. I had the right one. I was just like, oh, God, now she has me questioning everything I know. All right. And Paul, what varietal of Italian wine shares its name with a Tuscan mountain range?
Yeah, something else I know very little about is wine.
Generally, beer and shot guys tend to not know a lot about wine.
Chardonnay.
Yes, the very Italian sounding Chardonnay. No, it would actually be Chianti.
Ah.
But nothing lost there. You both just exchanged some points. See, it's not so bad so far. Y'all are tied up. It's a nice, friendly game. All right. So your question number 3 comes to us in the, I might as well just start calling it the Jeffrey Sigurton current events category. This is the time of the week where I plug Jeffrey Sigurton's Trivia Mastery Initiative, his $5 a month weekly PDF on current events trivia that every trivia writer should pay for, because holy crap, is this man thorough. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about current events? Do you think he's up to date?
Let's go 20 on this one.
All right, making some moves. And Paul?
I'm going to match that. Yeah, let's go 20.
This could be worth 40 points to someone if, you know, the cards play out correctly. I'm liking this. All right, Kelly. No, sorry. This is question 3. Paul is the first person to read on this one. Paul, Mount Doan in what national park is being renamed First People's Mountain? And that's spelled D-O-A-N-E.
Mount Doan is being renamed to what was it?
First People's Mountain.
Okay. So this is almost certainly going to be something Native American. National park area. Let's go with Smoky Mountain National Park.
I am sorry. That is Yellowstone. Not to be confused with Jellystone. There are no picnic baskets involved in this question.
Hey, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. Picnic basket.
I love that as soon as, you know, Yogi Bear has mentioned that as everyone's first reaction. That makes me happy. All right. Kelly, your current events question. What restaurant chain is opening a futuristic drive-through concept called Defy?
Taco Bell.
Taco Bell. That is correct.
It's nice. Like bank style. They have like a vacuum tube system to deliver the food.
Yep. Which, I mean, like, I don't know if that's worth all the money they're spending on it when it's just as easy to hand you a bag out of a window.
For a dollar taco? Yeah.
Oh.
But hey, they can get more people through the line at one time.
Guess what? Taco Bell prices are about to go up, just like everything else.
Not Arizona tea. That shit is still 99 cents.
Even though people are now trying to convince us it is going up. I don't know if you guys saw that going around.
Yeah. They're using the Canadian can. It's $1.29 in Canadian dollars, which is 99 cents.
All right. So your fourth category is in the category of let's do it like they do on the Discovery Channel. So it's an Animal Kingdom related question that might be a little after dark in nature. So parents, if your kids don't know about the birds and the bees, this might be the time to cover their ears a little bit. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about animal nature?
Just go 10.
Paul, same question to you.
I'm going to go 20 on this.
Ooh. All right. Kelly, what type of bee mates with the queen?
A drone.
It is a drone.
Yeah. If it weren't for the fact that I'm terrified of bees, I would want to be an apiarist. But I'm really scared of bees.
My brother is an apiarist and he mails us jars of honey every year. Love them.
That's awesome. Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of bees, but I recognize their importance. So save the bee people. All right, Paul.
Bee people? Yes.
Here's a fun question. How many vaginas does the female kangaroo have? To be clear, we're talking vaginal tubes as they still only have one vaginal opening.
Oh, boy.
Now, to be clear, this question was originally written for Jay and Aaron just so they would have a fucking giggle fest.
Let's pull the number 4 out. Why not?
You were very close. It's actually 3.
Didn't think so, it would be an odd number. I was waffling between 2 and 4. Oh, well.
So kangaroos, like, actually, I think it's pretty much all marsupials, but they have 3 vaginal tubes and 2 uteri. So the 2 tubes on the side go up to uteri, and so therefore they can pretty much be constantly pregnant. And then the 3rd tube is for delivery.
Why?
It's a very unique system that the far right would have a field day with.
Yeah, very efficient.
Well, you know, if you say the word vagina, the far right freaks out. So what are you going to do?
Vagina. Okay, now that we got rid of them from listening, let's play some more trivia. And Paul, there's a lead being opened up on you here.
Yes, there is.
In the last 2 questions, we went from a tie game at 20-20 to a 90-20 lead.
Got my work.
That's why I love this
here.
Game. There's wild swings. There are wild swings. Your 5th category is... We're all friends here. Paul, what do you think our friend Kelly knows about friends?
Is it going to be about the TV show? I'm thinking
Who knows? I'm a fucking dickhead.
You know what? I got ground I need to make up here. Let's go 20.
Yes, the desperation wagering. And Kelly?
Well, I think television is Paul's best category on Learned Leagues. So he's going to get a 10, just in case.
Okay. I like it. All right. Paul, she's kind of right in that it is partially television related, but it's also literature related for you. The boat that rescues Ishmael and Moby Dick shares a name with what friend's character?
I read Moby Dick in 6th grade for Sister Mary Arthur's advanced reading class and hated every second of it.
The boat that rescued Ishmael was named the Rachel. All right, Kelly.
Yes.
A Chandler is a person with what profession? I just like that that followed right up after Paul's answer.
Is that a candle maker?
That is a candle maker.
Yes.
Well played. I'm not going to let my wife know that I just missed a question where the answer was Rachel.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why you wouldn't have just defaulted to that when you didn't know. So she's not going to be listening to this episode. Thanks, Paul. You lost me a potential subscriber. All right. So that's another 30 points heading Kelly's way. Everything is coming up Kelly today.
I'm a buck in the hole now, right?
Yes, you are.
More.
Yes, you are. You might want to start working on ways to convince her to wager everything. Your category 6 is going to be in movies. Paul, what do you think Kelly knows about movies?
You know what? My strategy of betting 20 is not working well. We're going 10 on this.
That might be smart. You know my husband.
You might know him from such movies as...
Yes.
You might know him from the 2,500 DVDs in my living room.
Oh, that is a nice collection behind you there.
That's a third of it.
Oh, God. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about movies?
Probably quite a bit. We're also going to go 10.
All right. 10 points across the board. Well, you're both specifically getting questions about movies that were remade. Kelly goes first on this one. Kelly, what 1990 Arnold Schwarzenegger movie was remade in 2012 starring Colin Farrell?
Total Recall.
Total Recall is correct.
Holy shit, I've never seen it.
I didn't see the remake. I love the original.
That's right. He did. When she said Total Recall, I'm like, no, it's definitely not that. Wait, that's right. I forgot all about that.
A lot of people did.
Was that that was a remake, not a sequel?
It was a remake.
Mm, wow. Okay.
All right. And Paul, what 1981 Dudley Moore movie was remade in 2011 starring Russell Brand?
Arthur.
All right. Paul picking up some needed points, keeping the game a close 100-point spread. Hey, you still have 4 questions in regulation with which you can do this. As you saw, it can quickly turn. Your 7th category is in geography. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about geography?
Let's go 20 on this one.
All right. And Paul, what do you think Kelly knows about geography?
Well, against my better judgment, I am going to go 20. I know it's a smart move for her.
Well, you're kind of being backed into a corner where you're going to have to start making some 20 bets.
Yep.
All right. But I think you might actually get this one, Paul. Don't worry. Well, at the very least, I think you'll get your 20. I don't necessarily think you'll get both because you're playing a very good player. Paul, in what city is the Taj Mahal located?
It's in India.
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Atlantic City. I got you on this. No, actually, that's closed down.
It is, yeah. Much like most of Trump properties. Because he's a very successful businessman.
Oh, yeah.
At gaming the system, he's very successful.
Absolutely. I am going to take a complete stab in the dark here and say Mumbai.
It is in Agra, India. Mm. I could tell that was like an in there but brain fart for you.
Well, I am just awful, god awful at geography.
See, I didn't do any learned league research on either of you. All right.
Research is kind of my thing.
Uh-oh. Well, then I swear there's no bodies in the backyard.
Hey, my post-retirement gig, I was a researcher for 15 years for Dow Jones.
Damn.
You know, I just have ADHD and I start hyper-focusing on things and go down rabbit holes.
Internet rabbit holes are fun. All right, mm-hmm. Kelly. What Canadian city has the largest population?
I do know that like 90% of Canadians live within 100 miles of the United States border.
Accurate.
Let's go with Quebec City.
Oh, good news. You picked up 20 points from Kelly. It's Toronto.
Oh, Toronto. Okay. Toronto. I don't care if I'm wrong on my doesn't matter one.
We just swapped points there.
Yep. Very friendly game right there. All right. Your next question is in the category of U.S. presidents. Paul, am I putting you down for 20?
Let's do it.
And Kelly?
Paul's going to get 10. I think American history is pretty strong in him.
So this is question 8. So Kelly, you go first. What U.S. president dedicated and opened the Empire State Building?
I don't even know what year the Empire State Building opened. Like, nothing.
Oh, man, if only you had the audio for the Jeffrey and Jeremy episode, because that year came up.
Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt. Not
Bond. James Bond. Nope, that would be Herbert Hoover. It opened May 1st of 1931. Right, so Paul, that's very good news for you, buddy.
I'll take it.
All right. And Paul, who was the U.S. president when Barack Obama was born?
Let's see. Obama, he is a little older than me. So we're going to go. Let's try. I might be giving him. I might be youthening him just a little bit here, but I'm going to go Kennedy.
Kennedy is correct. Barack Obama was born in August of 61. Kennedy was sworn in January of 61.
Did you put your 20 on that one?
I did.
He did. Yep. So currently it is no longer a lockout. I know Kelly was hoping to lock you out and then not have to worry about math at the end.
Exactly. Yeah. Uh-huh. When you were saying, you know, find ways to convince her to bet at all, I was like, hey, Kelly, it doesn't matter if you bet at all. How convincing is that?
I don't think as convincing as you think it is, Paul. All right. Your category 9 is clean up on aisle 5. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about the category of cleanup on aisle 5?
That's really ambiguous. Let's go 10.
Paul?
That's really ambiguous. Let's go 20.
Oh, man. I love it. I love it. All right, Paul. While Tide, Bold, and Gain might all seem like competitors, they're all actually owned by this company, which ranks number one in sales of personal, household, and oral care products.
I'm pretty sure they're all Procter & Gamble.
They are all Procter & Gamble.
Just waiting for that. Nope, sorry, Unilever. Ha ha, you suck.
Johnson & Johnson, yeah.
Exactly. That's where the, you know, the trick lies there is. Which of the massive companies is it? All right, Kelly. This disinfectant product, known for killing 99.9% of germs on contact, was originally marketed as a vaginal douche. Once you get over being disturbed by that fact.
Yeah, no, it's just which one is it? Let's go with Lysol.
It is Lysol.
It's like either Lysol or Clorox.
And what's that? Breaking news. The Supreme Court has ruled that Lysol is no longer a cleaning product and must go back to being a vaginal douche.
Oh, you mean like Clarence Thomas?
Yes, I love that conveniently the one case that Clarence Thomas left off of the cases he wants to go back and
Loving
fix
versus Virginia.
Is Loving versus Virginia. You know, proving that it is all about the politics and not about the law at all.
Selective bigotry.
Because it would be one thing if he actually believed that the letter of the law said these things. But clearly you don't, you fucking hypocrite. All right, back to trivia. No, Supreme Court. No, bad. Supreme Court, bad. All right, your final question before the final questions. It's in the category of all the gin joints. Kelly, what do you think Paul knows about of all the gin joints?
Let's go with 10.
Paul, same question for you.
What's the score right now?
170 to 90.
20.
All right, Kelly. In Cabaret, what is the name of the Berlin nightclub that is central to the story?
Bad musical theater major. I have a theater degree. I can't remember the answer. Let's go with Rick's.
It is not Rick's.
Everybody goes there.
It's the Kit Kat Club. All right. Paul.
Yes.
Oh boy, hold on a second. I just need to... In Casablanca, what is the name of the bar owned by Humphrey Bogart's character?
Don't feel bad, Kelly. I definitely would have done this anyway. It is Rick's.
Casablanca is Brian's favorite movie. I've probably seen it a dozen times.
When you said that, all I could think is, I think I might have a feeling I know where this is going to lead.
Yep. I was just like, oh, and I was like, how am I going to read this with a straight face? And I'm just like, I don't think it's going to matter. I think Paul knows this.
There is a giant 70th anniversary version, like deluxe version of Casablanca on the shelf. Man. We have at least 4 different copies of that movie.
Damn, it's a lot of copies. So, Paul, you went from being down by 100 points to being down by 50 points and making wagering very important. The score heading into the final is 170 to 120. Let me give you your final categories, and then you'll message me some wagers. Paul has selected The Simpsons as his final category, specifically the golden years of the first 10 seasons. And Kelly has selected Harry Potter, which, judging from his beard, I think Paul might be a fan of wizards anyway.
Dumbledore.
So message me some wagers, and I'll do some math. Kelly, you're making my math real complicated here.
I know. You're welcome.
Don't like math.
You have a smartphone. It's fine.
That is true. Not that I ever use calculators for anything all the fucking time. Now, Paul's making me pull up the calculator. I see what you did there, Paul. I see what you did. All right. So wagers are locked in. In Harry Potter, Kelly, what type of wood is Harry Potter's wand made from? And if you don't like the question, blame Nick Groves.
Oh, Nick Groves gets the blame for everything regardless.
That's a recurring theme in the trivia world.
Nick Groves is to blame for Paul's flat tire. I want to make that perfectly clear.
Damn you, Nick.
I feel like it's Elm, so we're going to go with Elm.
Okay, you've locked in with Elm. Paul, what platform do students go to catch a train to Hogwarts?
9 3/4.
Okay, you've locked in with 9 3/4. God, I really want to make a dirty joke there, but I'm not going to. All right, in the category of...
Hey, at least...
Wait, what?
At least you didn't ask how long Harry Potter's wand is.
He's got that big wand energy. Oh, man. All right. Paul, in the category of The Simpsons, most characters on The Simpsons have 4 fingers. I blame the nuclear plant, personally. Who is the only character with 5? Homer once suggested that if this character needed money, he should write another book because the first one sold pretty well.
That would be God.
Paul locked in with God. All right. Kelly, what president was Bart's best friend named for?
I want to make it clear that I don't think I've ever watched a single episode of The Simpsons all the way through.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Not a one?
My parents wouldn't let me watch it when I was little. And then it's just like, I didn't care. What president? Let's go with Carter.
All right, so you went with Carter. Paul, what is Bart's best friend's name?
That would be Milhouse.
Kelly, let's ask the question again.
Richard.
Now that you have that piece of information, which you should have had, but your parents deprived you of. Still no? Ah.
Oh. Oh, do you actually want me to give you another answer?
It's not going to count, but...
For funsies.
Oh, yeah, no. Millard Fillmore. I don't know.
Nope, that would be Richard Milhouse Nixon. Because everyone wants their best friend to be named after Nixon, right? Paul, you did give us the correct answer for the Simpsons character that has 5 fingers. That would be God. Woo-hoo. You gave us the correct train platform. And for Harry Potter's wand... It's actually made from holly, at least according to Nick Groves. I'm going to assume he's correct on that one just because of the extensive volume of Harry Potter trivia that he has.
Yeah.
We can blame him for everything, but he's also right about it.
He sent me 3 rounds of his Harry Potter trivia, and he said, don't go above question 4 for your hard question. Each round is 10 questions. I was like, wait, question 4? Really? What? And sure enough, I don't know enough about Harry Potter to write questions. I was like, okay, for the easy one.
I'm really curious about question 10 now.
Well, I can for S's and giggles, I can pull that up real quick.
I hate that song.
I do too, but it's so easy to get stuck in your head.
Exactly. That's why I hate it.
I don't know, I still got Liesl singing and stuck in my head.
That's so much better.
Actually, I'm sorry. There's 11 questions in each category.
What kind of sociopath puts 11 questions in a category?
Nick Groves, everyone. All right. Which country won the 2014 Quidditch World Cup?
England?
Ireland.
Bulgaria.
Yeah.
I knew it was one of the two.
Let's see, pick another one of these bad boys. Oh, yeah. This is a real dickish question 11. Within 20, throughout the book series and excluding any Quidditch points, what is the total net sum of the points that Harry Potter earned for Gryffindor in the House Cup? Like, seriously, Nick? That's like almost a go f*** yourself question.
Yeah, that's one where, yes, clearly there is a definite answer to it. And I don't even think the jerk off that wrote this would be able to tell you.
Does it include all the points that he lost because Snape is a dick?
Yeah, because it's total. That's it's total net points, so it includes pluses and minuses.
65.
You're actually pretty close. It's 58.
I was within 20. I would have gotten that question right.
Damn.
We make that the hard question.
No, but it is time to find out what y'all wagered. Paul, why don't you? You know what? Actually, Kelly, why don't you tell us what you wagered?
Wagering is the absolute worst, and I hate it, and I don't like doing math, so I wagered 0.
So you will be at 170. So the big question is, did Paul wager enough to get to that fateful 171? Paul, what did you wager?
Well, I figured there was no way to catch her if she got them right, so all I could do was hope that she got it wrong, and bet 51.
I knew you were going to do that. But I also knew that I was probably going to get it wrong. So there's nothing I could do.
So with a final score of 171 to 170, Paul wins the game in a nail biter. Nice little come from behind. See, proving that anything can happen with this really fun wagering system.
Unbelievable. I hit 2/3 through that game. I was like, well, I'm just going to have to, you know, make changing a tire a highlight of my day, because I am going to get smeared.
So when you send me your wagers, through and I calculate what final scores will be. Kelly's was obviously easy because she wagered nothing. But I always figure out what your low score will be first, and then I go to the high score. So I see Paul's, and I did the math, and I'm like, oh, ha ha, 69 points, Paul. Real funny. You think you're going to get it wrong and just end on 69. And then I did the other way, and I was like, oh, wait, no, he's trying to win by one. He's not trying to be funny.
Yeah, I got so confident halfway through. But, I mean, the Nick Scott episode was right. It's not just rewarding intelligence. It's punishing ignorance.
Yep. Yep. And now that you listened to that yesterday, that is now our highest listened to episode. It overtook the first episode yesterday, which I'm glad about, because, you know, I like my progressive episodes to get more listeners. So
that's a good thing.
It is. All right. Well, on your way out today, guys, do you want to plug anything, say anything? Kelly, we'll let you go first.
Of course you want me to go first. Because I never have an answer for this question. I mean, there's a lot of things that obviously could be relevant for today's times.
What?
But if you can choose to be anything, choose to be kind. Assume that everyone has a good intention, but prepare yourself for the fact that they probably don't.
That's fair.
Also, thanks to Brian for making me give the answer for Casablanca.
Do you have any bold predictions for Brian's matchup against Jeremy Goodson?
It really depends on how the categories fall. Jeremy's a good player, but Brian knows some weird.
Yeah, that is accurate. I love both of them as trivia players. And then as soon as they had a matchup on Throwback Trivia Takedown, I had to offer the rematch, the vengeance match.
Yep.
So that's actually being recorded, I believe, Tuesday night, if my mental schedule is correct. So, yeah, that'll be fun. Yes. And Paul, what do you want to say on your way out?
Well, and this is going to be a huge edit, editing out of that massive silence there. You know, I'm just going to say I am really looking forward to hanging out with everybody once again at who makes it to SporkleCon, or who makes it to Jonathan's Bash next month. Be good to one another. Everything kind of sucks lately, so do all you can to make everything a little less sucky. Yeah. And donate to fight type 1 diabetes, because, man, it sucks having a daughter with that. Well, no, it doesn't suck having a daughter with that. It just sucks that she has it.
Sucks for
yes,
her.
Yes, you feel for her. We understand what you mean. You know, as an adult with type 2, like, I don't know how kids with type 1 even, like, it's hard to manage as a grown-ass person. It's like, how does a child deal with something like that? Like,
Yesterday was her 9-year diversary.
That sounds kind of morbid. I like it. All right, you two, thank you for being on. That was another fun matchup, and I'll have you both back in the future.
That's it for this episode of Nerd Off. Tune in next week. Same nerd time, same nerd channel.